And a lot of people have been reaching out to join the conversation on what are the next steps in Libya. Thinking about the next steps in Libya, maybe we should remember the Contras. The Contras, remember them? The Reagan administration financed program to fund the opposition groups confronting the Sandinista government, the leftist government in Nicaragua. It financed some very sort of questionable folks down there in Nicaragua, and it took quite a long time for there to be political change. Mark Landler joins us now, the White House correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. There's been talk since the speech of President Obama on the situation in Libya that perhaps our money would be best spent arming some of the rebels in Libya. Do you think the administration is considering arming its own army of Contras down there in Libya?
Well, I think it's not quite analogous, John. There is a debate in the administration about whether support for the opposition, the rebels in Libya, should include supplying them with weapons. But, you know, it's a difficult debate, in part for the historical reasons that you cited. The U.S. has a sort of a pretty checkered track record in this area. And with this group of rebels, there are a lot of questions. Among them, who really are these people? We don't know much about them. And eastern Libya, which is the stronghold of the rebel movement, was also a very good recruiting ground for al-Qaeda. And many of the insurgents who fought in Iraq came from eastern Libya. So there are some questions being raised by people saying, you know, wait a minute, we have to be careful about where we send our money, and if we put weapons into the hands of people we really don't know.
So, Mark Landler, the who is a bit of a question, but at least if you listen to the president on ABC News last night, the how doesn't seem to be much of a question.
It's fair to say that if we wanted to get weapons into Libya, we probably could. We're looking at all our options at this point.
Mark Landler, do White House sources elaborate on that point the president made last night on ABC? I mean, is he basically saying it's a simple operation, but we're still considering it? Or is it more to it than that?
Well, he was alluding to two things. One is that whether you have the legal authority to do so. There's an arms embargo in place on Libya. The administration's argument is that the most recent United Nations resolution overrides the arms embargo and gives the U.S. and other countries the legal authority to send weapons into Libya. The actual logistics of how you do that are not totally clear, but it's sort of generally assumed that you would probably do it via Egypt. And indeed, there's already some very, very vague talk that countries such as France, who are even more aggressive about this than the United States, are looking into ways that you could actually channel arms through Egypt and into the hands of the rebels in eastern Libya.
Now, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton seems to believe, according to statements that were made in London at this talk between the coalition, 30 leaders joining that coalition to discuss what to do next in Libya. She seems to believe that the Security Council resolution actually does, in theory, authorize a transfer of arms. But is that more of a debate within the administration?
Well, the legal issues of whether or not it's authorized by the United Nations will have to be ironed out, not just within the administration, but within the international community and at the United Nations. I think the debate within the administration is more a political and military one. On the political side, as we said before, you know, who are these rebels? How much do we know about them? On the military side, there's also arguments being made about, you know, if you do give arms to rebels, it's not just as simple as showing up and parachuting in a crate of AK-47s. You actually have to train rebels how to use these weapons. You have to give them training in how to, you know, convert themselves into a fighting force that's capable of taking on a better armed Libyan military.
Well, then, Mark Landler, does that raise the specter of Afghanistan in the sense that the freedom fighters we financed in Afghanistan became the basis for al-Qaeda?
It absolutely does. And in fact, Senator Carl Levin, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, who's been in touch with senior administration officials, said to us yesterday that his major concern is what happens after there's some kind of a ceasefire? What happens when the rebels, if, you know, as the U.S. hopes, make some significant gains? Will they continue to use these weapons in other conflicts? And that then raises the specter of would they someday use the weapons against us? I mean, these are the types of things that we dealt with when we armed the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. And some officials in the administration, like Bob Gates, the defense secretary, have a lot of experience with this.
Well, Mark Lendler, White House correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, is the issue of giving arms to Libyan rebels one which the White House would consult more members of Congress over? I mean, they didn't necessarily go to Congress to get approval for the airstrikes. Would they go to Congress to get approval for this?
Well, you remember the history, of course, with the Contras and
the Reagan
Boland
Amendment, yes.
There was a lot of this became a scandal because there was no consultation and the whole thing was done covertly. I think the fact that the debate is already surfaced publicly suggests to me that they probably wouldn't go down that route. And I think it also should be said that there are other countries, France being the key example, that are much more forward-leaning on this issue than the United States. And some officials have said to me that at the end of the day, the U.S. might really prefer to see some of the allies do this. They wouldn't stand in the way of it, but they would be very glad to see other countries take the lead.
And some of those allies might be a little bit nervous, Mark Lendler, White House correspondent for the New York Times. I remember former intelligence chief for Saudi Arabia, Turki Al-Faisal, told me that when Al-Qaeda was created in Afghanistan, one of its first missions was try to take down the Saudi government. Could a repeat of that rattle the region?
It could indeed, and keep in mind there are Arab partners in this coalition effort, Qatar and the UAE, that are supplying equipment, aircraft to impose a no-fly zone. So you've got to be careful that you're satisfying your Arab partners as well. And as you point out, there could be concerns raised by them that these insurgents could be a destabilizing force in the region.
For all kinds of regimes throughout the Gulf. Mark Lendler, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Mark Lendler is the White House correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, considering a debate that's going on in the Obama administration whether to actually send arms and finance and even possibly train the opposition forces confronting Muammar Gaddafi in Libya.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.